It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Each Saturday at 2 p.m. throughout the month of February, 90.5 WESA is airing the program State of the Reunion. The focus of the episodes is on redefining Black history by looking at less familiar narratives. I'm joined now by phone by Al Letson, host of State of the Reunion. Al is a public radio Talent Quest winner and performance artist. Al Letson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good to be on.
Let's begin by having you explain how State of the Reunion began.
Sure. In 2007, 2008, I was watching American Idol with my daughter, and I never watched the program, and I went to Google the next day to see, like, who won. And the first thing that popped up was NPR's American Idol. And I clicked on it thinking it was going to be like a folk singing contest or something. And it took me to the website for the Public Radio Talent Quest, which I had an idea for a show, which was basically State of the Reunion. And I entered it in. And after a long competition, I won along with Glenn Washington.
So where do you get your stories? Where do the ideas come from?
Well, you know, basically, like, I look at what's going on in the country, and I think about what I want to talk about. So, for example, this season that's coming up, I've been looking at how the country, like, how we seem to be self-segregating ourselves. How, like, if you believe one concept, you kind of, you know, can be in an area with people that are like-minded. And so I tell my producers that's kind of what I'm interested in, and then they start going through and scouring newspapers and blogs. Sometimes we look at the map and we say, hey, we haven't gone into this corner of the country, so let's go there. And so they'll do that, and they'll start looking for stories. And then those stories will come back to me and the senior editor, and we'll decide which ones make the most sense for us.
What are some of the story ideas that have resulted from this that have surprised you or might surprise some of your listeners in terms of the idea and the part of the country that it came from?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think one of the first places we went to was Greensburg, Kansas. And Greensburg, Kansas got wiped out by a tornado of biblical proportions. I mean, literally, like, within 15 minutes, 90% of the population was homeless. And when we went out there, you know, we saw people of Greensburg coming together in ways that, you know, just kind of surprised me because it's a very red, you know, county, red, very red state. And some of the things that they were doing, you know, were sort of socialist, but it worked for their community. Like, it was smart. It was what they needed to do to come together. So seeing concepts being used in the field that, like, kind of go up against the rhetoric that you hear a lot, you know, it gives me a lot of hope for this country. So that was one place, just one example.
Explain how you take a story, Al, and look at it differently, or maybe, you know, turn the prism in a few different ways to where something completely unexpected comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the basis of, like, what we try to do is how we end up getting a different story. I think your typical news organization goes into a place, they drop in, they get the story, and they get out. And what we try to do is we're not just looking for the story, we're looking for how that story has roots in the community. And so from the genesis of the way we begin researching a place, it's really with the emphasis on community and the people who live there. And so just doing that gives us a different perspective because we're not talking to the people, like usually if there's an issue in a city, you know, the first thing that newsmakers do is they talk to politicians. And that's one of the last things we do. The first thing we want to do is we want to talk to the people who are living these issues. And I think that alone just kind of puts us in a different place than a lot of the other programs that are, or a lot of the other interviews and news programs that are out there.
We're talking by phone with Al Letson. He is host of State of the Reunion. Al is a Public Radio Talent Quest winner and performance artist. And I mentioned at the outset of the show, Al, that for the month of February, you wanted to go off the beaten path a bit for the stories that you are telling during Black History Month. Explain the approach that you're taking here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, throughout our travels with State of the Reunion, we've met so many African American leaders in their different communities. But these are people who aren't really celebrated because they're in the trenches doing the work. And so what we decided to do is that we would highlight all of these different leaders because, you know, when you think about African-American leadership, I think the first thing that comes to mind are figures like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and those type of characters. And I think that they get plenty of airspace. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to concentrate on the people who are on the ground, who are actually making change. So, you know, we went down and we talked to this guy, Leroy Jones in Miami, who, like, I mean, he didn't have the best upbringing, but he came out and he's doing something really positive for his community. Or Devon Love in Baltimore, same thing. He doesn't have the greatest pedigree, but it's like what he willed himself into being and how he's making change in his community. So that's one of the ways that we're looking at it differently. One of our major episodes that we created that we packaged in this Black History Month is Bayard Rustin, and Bayard is like my personal hero. And for people who don't know him, he is the man that taught Martin Luther King the practice of nonviolence. And he's basically been written out of the history books because he's a black gay man that was really prominent in the civil rights era. And, you know, being black and gay in that time was, you know, it's a whole different time than we are in now. And so his name has not gotten as much credit as it should. And so, again, like, we're looking at the civil rights struggle through kind of a different lens. And so we're always trying to look at it a little bit differently than the way other folks have.
Yes, and that's a great example that you just mentioned. Many people know Martin Luther King and what he contributed to the civil rights movement, how he led the civil rights movement, but there were a lot of other very prominent figures involved, Bayard Rustin being one of them. And I want to play an excerpt from this past week's show that illustrates the point you were just making.
Now, Bayard is an activist from up north. He'd been applying the Gandhian principles of nonviolent protest to the civil rights cause long before anyone had ever heard of Martin Luther King. When the bus boycott began, it was clear that this was the moment the civil rights struggle had been waiting for. But Bayard knew that fundamental changes had to be made in order for the boycott to be a success.
I think it is fair to say that Dr. King's view of nonviolent tactics was almost non-existent when the boycott began. In other words, at that point, Dr. King was committing himself and his children and home to be protected by guns.
Which is understandable given the very real dangers King and his followers were facing. Bayard spoke to King passionately about his belief that the presence of guns compromised the boycott and could become a dangerous liability.
We talked many, many hours about tactics of nonviolence, and I presume that Dr. King may have learned something from those discussions.
And that's an excerpt from this past week's State of the Reunion program, and that excerpt focusing on Bayard Rustin's contribution to the civil rights movement and how he was able to convince Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to adopt the policy, that this nonviolent approach. And it's really interesting, Al Letson, how you have that clip, and he's kind of calling out Martin Luther King there, saying, you know, kind of pointing out this contradiction that he's trying to lead a nonviolent movement, and yet he's got guns at home to protect his family.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like the Martin Luther King that Bayard was dealing with, especially at the beginning of the episode, is a very young Martin Luther King who really, like, he wants to do the right thing, but he doesn't know enough about the practice of nonviolence. So absolutely, Bayard is calling him out and pushing him in the direction that ended up giving us the Martin Luther King today that we know and love.
What can you tell us about how the African-American community in the United States has struggled with some of the gay rights issues? For example, you know, how it could be that a person like, and again, this was years ago, but it still seems to be to prevail somewhat to this day,
sure,
that someone like Bayard Rustin is marginalized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that when it comes to gay rights in this country, whether we're talking about within the African-American community or any community, the key is telling the stories, you know, talking about it and really engaging on, you know, people's stories and their individual lives. Because you can talk about facts and numbers and all these things, but they don't really make a difference. You know, like, numbers just bore people. But diving into the real story about people's struggle, you know, I think that changes the world. And that's why I wanted to do this episode on Byard Rustin, because I feel like Byard is a titan that stands in both worlds, both the African-American community and in the fight for gay rights as well. I mean, he is just a role model for both sides of it. And if he can play that bridge to bring both sides together to kind of talk through some things, I think that that's important. And that's why we highlighted him, because he can be that bridge, because he was such a phenomenal figure. And he was black and he was gay.
We're talking with Al Letson, host of State of the Reunion, heard on Saturdays at 2 all this month on 90.5 WESA. Al, why is it that you think people connect so well to this particular show?
Well, you know, I would say that there are a lot of programs out there, not necessarily on public radio, but I would just say in general, there are a lot of programs out there that don't really do the underdog. You know, like you listen to the nightly news or you watch the nightly news on TV, and it's mostly these talking heads. And I think that people are getting tired of that. And I think you know, there's so much great public radio programming that I feel State of the Reunion is sort of like a bridge with. For example, like, I think what we do is a mixture of what This American Life does, but also sort of like the daily news of like All Things Considered. And I feel like State of the Reunion is kind of like the perfect bridge for those type of things. So I think that's why people respond to it. Great characters. I also think that what we, kind of the outlook of State of the Reunion is that America has some challenges. But, you know, the people in America are just so amazing. Like, literally, if you had asked me if I was patriotic before I started this show, I would have said, I don't know what that really means. Like, I love the place I live, sure, but patriotism, I don't know, it just seemed weird to me. And now, if you ask me, I feel like, yes, I love this country in a way that's really hard for me to put into words. And it's not about the politics, because I think our politics are broken. It's about the people. It's the everyday people, man. I just, by definition, I get to go into different places and meet the coolest people in the community. And it makes me feel like, as Americans, we have so much to offer the world and each other.
What are the biggest challenges in putting a program like this together? Because this is clearly a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple challenges. One, I think, you know, you guys are doing it right now with your fundraising drive. I think that, you know, in public media, makers of public media and broadcasters of public media, we are specifically challenged. We've come into an era and a time where, you know, government and politics kind of looks down on public funding of anything. And I, you know, obviously I draw a paycheck from public media, but I feel very strongly that public media fills a place in our lives that we wouldn't get anywhere else, and that's why it needs to be publicly funded. So, you know, funding is a huge part of it, because what we do, we drop in and we tell all these intricate stories, and it takes a long time to pull it together. It's not something that happens overnight. And, you know, there has to be funding for that. So it's, you know, balancing the funding thing. As far as the stories are concerned, you know, America is a country with, you know, millions and millions of stories lying around just waiting to be told. So I feel like we always kind of stumble into that and you know, work our butts off to make it shine the best possible way. One of the other challenges I would say would be that, you know, sometimes we're going into communities that are really hard to get into. And as outsiders coming in, you really want to respect what that community is about and really kind of understand it. But it can be really hard to get in. For example, like, you know, doing stories on a reservation can be really tough. We're working right now on a story on a Hasidic Jewish community, and that's been really tough. Because, you know, they're not really open to outsiders coming in. And so it takes time. And so, you know, again, it goes back to the money. If it takes time, that means it takes more money. So it's that kind of thing.
We've been talking with Al Letson. He is host of State of the Reunion. You can catch it all this month, Saturdays at 2 on 90.5 WESA. Al, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. Good luck with your work. Continued success to you. And thanks so much for making time for us.
Thank you. And we are so appreciative and happy to be on in Pittsburgh. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love that city. And State of the Reunion will be there one day. I guarantee you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.
Coming up, is the NFL on the verge of drafting its first openly gay player? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.